الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم، ولا فهم لنا إلا ما فهمتنا إنك أنت الجواد الكريم. اللهم لك الحمد حتى ترضى، ولك الحمد إذا رضيت، ولك الحمد أبدا أبدا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد في الأولين، وصلي على سيدنا محمد في الآخرين، وصلي على سيدنا محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، الإخوة والأخوات، dear brothers and sisters, few weeks ago I talked about our relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we said that it is a relation based on love, and we also said that many of us would perceive this relation as one based on fear, on obedience. And we said that while this is an important factor, we need to be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, the core of the relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is love. And it's stated in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, سَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ مُقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initiated this relation of love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring people who He loves and they will love Him back. So it is a relation of love. This is the core of our relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear is important, obedience is important, but the core of the relation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, He created us, He gave us all the gifts and tools to be obedient to Him and to, inshallah, enjoy paradise after this life. And we also talked about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initiated this relation of love, and we also said that the nature of Allah, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us is a very practical nature. It's not just mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has proven practically that He loves us. And we gave many examples. There is no time now to repeat it again. But just for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you do one good thing, it is recorded as 10 good things. You take the reward of 10 good things. If you do one bad thing, it is recorded as one. So there is generosity here based on love. This is not fairness. It is love. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the reward of one good thing for each one good thing you do. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving us the punishment immediately when we do bad things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us time to reflect and think and ask for forgiveness and do repentance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very patient with us. And this is again based on love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us the Quran, sent us prophets, and sent us people to remind us of Himself. Again, this is based on love. So the relation from His side is definitely a practical love that we see and feel every day. And we also said that it is now, we'll talk about now our duty in loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala back. There are many questions that we can ask ourselves. First of all, do we really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Question that will come to our mind. Another one, is it a must to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it fard, mandatory or compulsory? Or it is a kind of a nice to have? It's an optional thing that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we should not bother about this. Another question would be, how would we know that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There are key questions. Do we know Allah, do we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How we know that we love Him? Is it a must to love Him? All those questions can be addressed by one ayah in Surah At-Tawbah. In Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٍ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. It's a long ayah. It's very, very critical ayah in the Quran in Surah At-Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if أباؤكم, your parents, count with me eight critical things in your life. Think while I'm translating. First one, آباؤكم, your fathers, your parents. أبناؤكم, your kids. إخوانكم, your brothers. أزواجكم, your husbands and wives, your spouses. وعشيرتكم, your tribes and your communities and your families, on a broader sense. وأموالاً اقترفتموها, your wealth, your money in the bank, your accounts. وتجارةً تخشون كسادها, تجارة, trade, business, your business, your work that you do every day. وَمَسَاكِنَ تَرْضَوْنَهَا, your houses and possessions and the thing that you would like to have in your life. If those eight things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala counted in this ayah are dearer to your heart, you love them more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet and jihad serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فتربصوا, then wait. تربصوا means wait in anxious, in anxiety. تربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمر, يأتي الله سبحانه وتعالى will decide what he will do with you. This is a threatening statement. Then if you do this, then wait for what will going to happen to you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide what's going to happen. What is the ending, closing of this ayah? وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not guide those people who do bad things, الفاسقين, who are disobedient, not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many things we need to think about in this ayah. It's very, very, I mean, it's very triggering a lot of thoughts, a lot of questions. First of all, those eight things, are those halal things or haram things? Those are halal things. أباؤكم, relation with parents and kids and brothers, and doing business and owning houses, and our trades and our money, these are all halal things. Actually, some of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do properly, like loving our parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to be kind to our parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to be kind to our families, to be kind to our wives and our husbands, our spouses and our kids. So actually we are ordered to do all of those things properly. So now why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, if you love those things more than you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then wait for what is going to happen to you. For one main reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying those are halal things. You have to do them in life to live properly. But the core of your mission, the core of your life, the objective, main objective of your life is to love and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all those things will come later on. Build all those things around the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us as angels. We will have to have those things in life. We'll have to go work. We'll have to have families. We'll have to get married and have kids. We will have to own things. This is our nature. They are halal things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when you have the choice, when you are tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you put two things in balance, if those things will weigh more than your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are losing. You are not doing the test properly. And if every day, every second, we are tested by this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test you every day. Will test us, will test me every day. So in the morning, 5 a.m., you weigh, should I go to prayers of Fajr or should I sleep? Oh, the love of sleeping is more, so I sleep. I go to my work, I'm doing maybe haram things in my work. So I weigh, should I get my salary or should I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't do haram things? Oh, the weight of my salary is more than love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I will go on doing this. I have a girlfriend. Should I go on with my relation with my girlfriend? Or should I stop this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Oh, the love for my girlfriend is actually equal or even more than the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then I will go on. I want to change myself, but actually my friends will make fun of me. They will make jokes about me that I'm going to the mosque and now I'm reading Quran. Being humiliated by my friends have a higher weight or my love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No, actually this. So it is a decision that we are making every day in every transaction in our lives. We always weigh the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one side and the other thing on the other side. The critical thing is we do this subconsciously. You don't take a decision by your tongue. You don't say, well, actually, I don't love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will do this. Subconsciously, in your hearts, you have priorities for the things you love. So every time you have a test, you subconsciously take a decision, well, actually, this comes in as a first priority. Love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes as a fifth or sixth priority, so I will do this. You do this subconsciously. So you have to dig deep and think about what is really important for your life. Stephen Covey, an American author, has written lots of good books about how to manage your life and your time management. And he has given a very good practical example. He said, think about your life as a box. And all the things that comes to you in your life and all the things that you love in this life is like a big stone, which is the most important thing in your life. Other things less important are like medium-sized stones and then pebbles and then sands and then water, depending on how you like things or love things. And then you start prioritizing or filling your life and your time. So some people would put the most important thing first, the big stone in the box, then putting the medium-sized stones on the sides, and then putting the small pebbles, and then putting the sand, which will go down at the bottom, and then put the water, which will filter down between the pebbles, and then settle down. So your life can actually be well organized. Why? Because you have put the most important thing first. Okay, whatever it is, maybe it's football, maybe it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you decide what is the most important thing in your life. You put it in the box, and then you create everything around it. Somebody else would put, in any order, would put the sand first, and then the pebbles, and then the stone, and then the water. And then at the end, he or she will try to put the big stone. So in our cases as Muslims, This is what we normally do. We design our lives based on things that we believe in. We design our careers, our study, our degrees, our life, our houses, our families. So we put all the small pebbles and all the sand and all the water, everything else. And then all of a sudden we think that, oh, we are Muslims as well. So we need to put Islam, which is a big stone. But we don't find a place for this big stone in the box. So this is the challenge. We start, they have two choices. Either you restart your life again, redesign it, which might be challenging because you have to sacrifice some things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is, again, you have to wait, do I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more or do I love those things more? Or the other alternative, which, again, me and many other people would do, we took small pieces of the stone to fill the gaps. So maybe I'm okay with Zuhr prayer. I would take a small piece of the stone and put it in the box. But the rest of the Islam actually doesn't fit with my life, with my box. Or some other person would take fasting, Ramadan. It's nice. Nice festival, I would fast, I would take this piece of the stone. But some people would cannot manage putting Islam at the core of their life. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the judgment day, everything will be built about how we have done with Islam, with the message. Everything will be built around this. So we have built our lives around things, and then on the judgment day, on the test, the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be based on Islam. It's exactly like going for a business degree in Royal Holloway University, but all the year you have been studying computer science. So when you sit for exam for business, I mean, the questions are completely different. You are not prepared for this. We are not prepared for this. So the analogy I'm trying to use here with the box and the sand and everything else is about what is most important for you. What is the thing that you really love most? What is the thing that is really critical in your life? Put it first and then build other things around it. Some people would say, now it's too late. You are coming to tell me this. I'm now 45 or 50 or 28 or 22. I already have organized my life. And again, this is the test. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be asking you about. I have given you things. You have organized it and managed your life in a way of your own design. But I have sent you the design of your life in the Quran. Did you follow the Quran? Did you follow the design I have sent? And this would be the answer we need to think about. So this is actually the first question. Do we really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And obviously, I'm not trying to answer this question. It is a personal question. Each and every one of us, including myself, need to go back, think about it, and reflect. Do I really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have I really designed my life to allow me to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have I really designed my life to really try to go to paradise? Or I'm just doing what other people are doing. I'm designing my life or my box like in any other one. So this is the key one. The second one is, okay, is it a fard, is it a mandatory thing to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it's an optional thing? Again, the ayah is very clear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, if you love those things more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِ. Wait for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ لَيَهْدِ قَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Those people who will do this are disobedient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not guide them. So it is clear, it is a fard, it is mandatory. It's exactly like Fajr prayer and Jum'ah prayer. Why would we all very consistent in coming to Fajr prayer? Because each and every one of us is sure that Jum'ah prayers is a fard. So we are all busy, we have business now running or studies, but we take this hour out of our lives because we know this is important. Likewise, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the other parts of Islam, why we have taken this part of the big stone and put it in our box? Why don't we take the rest? There are two issues. Either you don't understand that Islam is a whole, you have to take it all, or we don't understand the fact that we will be tested, we will be asked about the whole thing. So these are actually just a question that we need to think about. Do not expect to answer now, do not expect to have an answer maybe in a week. It's a long-term process, you have to think about it every day and try to reach an answer. The last thing we can say before taking a break is, how do we know that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What will be the checking point? What will be the signs of loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran an ayah called, scholars call this ayah, ayat al-mihna. Al-mihna means the difficult test. It's really a very difficult test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ, قُلْ, he is addressing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, your nation, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you really say that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you ask all the Muslims now worldwide, do you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Obviously everybody will say yes, definitely we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is the test that we are really sincere and And genuinely, in answering this question, the second part of the ayah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do this, really follow me. Follow exactly what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked us to do. So this is the question. If you feel that you are following what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done or has asked us to do, then there is really a ground or basis that you can build on the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So three key points. Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a must, is mandatory based on the ayah. Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, as I said, mandatory and is in every part of our lives. Every day, every second, you have to take this choice. Every time you have to weigh what you love and what your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody might be concerned now saying, if this is an invitation for us to drop our businesses and, you know, sell our homes and leave us poor and ignorant people, no. The Islam is not asking us to do so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not ask us to do so. We are not angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to be strong Muslims, to have the wealth, to have the knowledge, to lead the people. But again, as I said, design your life so that it will lead you to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will lead you to paradise, inshallah, after Judgment Day. So this is the key message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not drop your life. Do not say Islam is about dropping everything good in life. No, Islam is actually about doing everything good in life, but with one intention, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gaining His love. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, and He has given us all the opportunities to gain this love and love Him back. We'll take a break, inshallah, and then what I would like to do is some practical examples how we take steps towards loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قولوا قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Again, quick summary. Love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mandatory. We have to take an action. Quick steps. And some of you will think that those steps are very easy and you already done this. So if you see that anything I will mention is already done, think about the higher level and how to take this further, inshallah. So first step is drop all the sins that you are insisting on, that you do every day. All of us have some sins that we do on a consistent basis. So try to identify those sins. Try to think about them, identify them and drop them. The key point for loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taking one step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to drop those sins that we are insisting on. Because we are not angels, we will always do mistakes. And this is fact of life. We will all do sins and we will all do mistakes. It's normal. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expecting us, once we do a sin, we reflect, we think, we know it is wrong, and then we ask for forgiveness and repentance, and we decide not to go back again. This is the life cycle of a Muslim. The key problem is when we insist on one thing and we continue doing it, even if it is a small thing, even if it is a minor sin. The scholars would say there is no minor sin if you are insisting on it. The definition of a minor sin does not apply to sin that we do on a consistent basis. So this is the key point. Drop the sin that you are insistingly doing it. Second point is drop all the bad friends. If you don't have the strength enough to lead people to good things and they are leading you to bad things, drop this relation immediately. Try to position your life, yourself in a community that will help you move forward, not move backwards. So this is the key, the number two step. Number three, prayers. If you want to love somebody, if you want to develop a relation, talk to this person. So likewise, if you want to develop a relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to do prayers, which is the relation, private, personal relation between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do prayers. The five prayers, al-furud al-khamsa, fajr, dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha. Fajr is a fard. Some people might say, might have some confusion about fajr. Fajr is fard like Jum'ah prayers, exactly. They are the same. They are fard. They are both fard. They don't have different levels. They are both fard. Doing Jum'ah prayer is as important as doing a fajr prayer. So do the five prayers on time as much as you can, of course. I understand that you are living in the UK. It might be a challenge because of business situations and where you live. But try as much as you can. Do the effort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you, inshallah. So do the five prayers. Somebody might say, well, I'm already doing this. Then take the higher level. As I said, think of the sunnah now. Think of step number four, which is going to the mosque. Try to do the prayers in the mosque. Might be a challenge again because we live in a non-Muslim country. Do as much as you can. Now we are praying once a week in the mosque, which is the Jum'ah prayer. Try to do more. Can you go to the mosque in the weekend? Can you pray Saturdays and Sundays in the weekend in the mosque? Try to pick another day. So you pray twice or three times a week in the mosque. And then if you are doing this, try to make it five or six until, inshallah, you might do the 35 prayers in the mosque. Always think of the higher level if you are doing what I'm talking about. Again, another step is always put yourself in a community that will help you. Wherever you live, ask about the mosque, ask about the prayer rooms, try to attend halaqa, people that will talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about Islam and learn more about Islam. Another one is, number six is actually put some time in a day, even 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 20 minutes, as much as you can, for reading the Quran and doing adhkar, as much as you can. And there is enough books in English about Quran and about adhkar. Even if you cannot read Arabic, you will still have enough material, inshallah, to do your daily readings. So put some time for this. The last thing is, once you start achieving all of this, and you feel that you have taken one serious step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of loving Him, help other people. This is a key point. Help others. You don't have to be a scholar. Some people would say, I would not ask people for Islam because I'm not a scholar. You don't have to. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, I think everybody knows him. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was the first man who embraced Islam. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited him to Islam and he embraced immediately. The second day of being a Muslim, he didn't go to school, he didn't go to university, he didn't study fiqh, he didn't do anything, he didn't memorize the Quran, he just had the basic knowledge of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. He invited six people to Islam. Those six people are actually the six out of 10 who will go to heaven, who were promised heaven from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised 10 people that they go to heaven while they are still alive. Six out of those 10 were invited to Islam by Abu Bakr on his second day of being a Muslim. So don't have this misconception that you have to be a big scholar, that you have to have a big lecture or a big mosque that you can start inviting people to Islam. What you know, if you start praying Zuhr, invite people to pray Zuhr. If you pray Fajr, invite people to pray Fajr. This will help you, again, taking people ahead with you, and you will yourself you'll develop. So these are key takeaways, key practical things you have to do to, inshallah, start your steps toward loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you build this, believe me, without going any further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you the way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not from any scholar or any speaker. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those people who will do an effort, jahadu, do jihad. Jihad here doesn't mean doing a war or fighting. Jihad means effort towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا, do effort in supporting Islam or in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ, we will, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ means confirmation, we will guide them to the right way. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. So take the steps, take the effort. And as I said, every time you make a decision, always think of the subconscious process that will happen in your mind. You will always weigh your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will weigh what is in front of you. And you have to take a decision. And as I said, it's not easy. Once you take those steps, don't think life will be easy. Satan will start setting some traps for you. Your friends will start making fun of you. Your family might put you under some pressure. People around you might look at you in a funny way. So it will be challenging, and this is the nature of the test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see how you value your ego, your image, with your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people would not follow Islam, like, for example, again, addressing women. Some people would not wear hijab. Why? They understand that hijab is fard, but they would not do so because they value their image, which is human nature. This is normal. But we need to think about this and reflect about it and take our time in addressing this. It's no use of kidding ourselves and spending all our lives without thinking about this. Sit down with yourself on your own in a quiet place and think, what are the things that I really love more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And start thinking about a plan how to change this. It will not take a week. Don't kid yourself. This is not a week project. This is not a year project. This is a life project. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed the heart of the Muslim people in 13 years in Mecca. And when they went to Medina, there was again another year of no rules. There was no rules in Islam, just some prayers. And all of a sudden, in the second year in Medina, rules started coming. Fasting, fast. Everybody fasted in 1 minute. Why? Because their hearts are ready. they have a high weight for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said no more alcohol, everybody stopped alcohol immediately. Because now they understand that the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much more than the money they make of manufacturing alcohol or selling alcohol or the fun they have from or the enjoyment they have from drinking alcohol. So this is the process we have to go through. Think about the value of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and think about what is the reward. The reward is, I just mentioned one hadith for the sake of time, we have to stop now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُؤْتَى بِالرَّجُلْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ أَنْعَمْ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. A person who was enjoying life the most person who enjoyed life on earth, will be brought on Judgment Day, then he will be dipped. فَيُغْمَسْ فِي النَّارِ غَمْسَةِ. He will be dipped in hellfire, just غَمْسَةِ, just one dip, for less than a second. Then he will be asked, ثُمَّ يُسْأَلْ هَلْ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا قَطْ. Have you ever seen or felt any enjoyment? He said, لا والله. No, wallahi, he swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma ra'aytu na'iman qad, I haven't seen anything. One dip in hellfire made him forget all the years of enjoyment, all the years of pleasure on earth. And I'm talking about the person who enjoyed life most. And then on the other hand, vice versa, they would bring somebody who did not enjoy life at all. He lost everything. It was a miserable life, hardship life, but he is a good person. He will be dipped one dip in heaven, and then he would be asked, have you seen any hardship in your life or any misery in life? He would say, no, I haven't seen anything. He just forgot everything. Like deleting your files on the computer. Everything was, it's not there. Just from one dip, I'm not talking about eternal life in paradise. This is another story, inshallah, another khutbah. But just I'm talking now about one dip. And then you can imagine what can happen in heaven. And whenever you whatever you imagine, heaven is better than this. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فِيهَا مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمَعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ الْبَشَرِ. In heaven, there are things that we have never seen, never heard about, and we cannot imagine. Because the way we are built, our capacity of intelligence, our capacity of thinking, cannot cope with the pleasures in paradise. So try your best, imagine whatever you think of pleasures, but always at the end say, well, paradise is better than this. I will finalize, inshallah, by praying for our sisters and brothers worldwide who are in hardship. I would like to remind you that you need to do your duty for the Muslim community worldwide, in this local community in Igam or wherever you live, and also worldwide. So please donate whenever you have a chance. Participate in your local communities. In Igam here we have a Friday halaqa in the prayer room in Royal Holloway at 7:30 every Friday. So try to join us. If you can't read Arabic, don't be shy. Come and just listen and be an observer. We have lots of people who cannot read Arabic, so they just sit and listen. Inshallah, one day they will be able to read Quran. And we have some success stories. Alhamdulillah, we had an Austrian brother who was with us last year, and in 6 months he was able to learn Arabic or actually read Quran. And alhamdulillah, when he went back home now, he's reading Quran on his own. So we have success stories. So come, don't be shy. Even if you want to sit in a corner, just listen without participating. We welcome observers. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في كل مكان. اللهم انصر إخواننا في الفلبين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في أفغانستان. اللهم انصر إخواننا في باكستان. اللهم انصر إخواننا في كشمير. اللهم انصر إخواننا في نيجيريا. اللهم انصر إخواننا في إندونيسيا. اللهم انصر إخواننا في الشيشان. اللهم انصر إخواننا في الجزائر. اللهم انصر إخواننا في كل مكان. اللهم انصر إخواننا في السجون. اللهم انصر إخواننا المعذبين في كل مكان. اللهم انصرهم وكن لهم ولا تكن عليهم. اللهم أعنا على نصرتهم. اللهم أعنا على نصرتهم. اللهم أعنا على نصرتهم. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا. أنت مولانا فانصرنا على قوم الكافرين. وأقم الصلاة.